Okay, you ready to start?
Let me rub one out first. Oh, yeah. That's okay. How we should open. Okay, well, welcome to another week of...
Get over here!
Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast about elite beat agents.
I'm Stibbins.
And I'm AFX.
And actually this week, after the, you know, the rousing success that we had last week with the 50 Cent interview, we've decided to bring in another hardcore gamer for an interview this week. I know you guys, I mean, we got a lot of PMs asking about this, and you really wanted to talk to this guy, so we got him for you.
It wasn't easy. At all.
Actually, it was actually really easy. All we said was Biggie Smalls in the mirror 3 times. But, here
but
he
that,
is.
That wasn't really easy to do. It was kind of scary.
I was really scared.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have Notorious Big here. And, I don't really know what to ask here, so I'll just start out by...
I've got a lot of questions, actually, but I'll let you start it.
Okay. I think the question really on everyone's mind is, are you gay?
And I think that's about all the time we have for today. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Big. Notorious Big. For stopping by.
What have you been playing?
Nothing.
Nothing
like
at
always.
All?
I'm still playing Tiger Woods. I'm actually waiting for Nick to send me Gears of War, but he's taking his goddamn time with it.
Yeah, I hear that's pretty awesome.
It's supposed to be really cool. I probably wouldn't, you know, buy it or anything, but for free, but I really, really want it.
I mean, just be honest, because Nick is sending it to you, as soon as you get it, you're just going to sell it on eBay.
Yeah, and I'm just going to take, like, the IGN interview, the GameSpot interview, and probably the EGM interview, and just splice bits and pieces from each one of them to make an interview. I mean, they're all saying the same thing. Yeah, it's really awesome and changes the world as we know it, so.
Might as well make $60 off of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to also point out that we were supposed to announce the winners of the Next Level Gears of War contest, where the Next Level is giving away 3 copies of Gears of War. We were supposed to announce that this week, but Nick hasn't actually sent us the list of winners yet.
What a dick.
He really is a dick. And I actually just private messaged him, like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago or so, letting him know that we were about to do it. And I see that he's online and he's doing stuff, but he hasn't actually gotten back to me on it, so.
And
the thing that says,
stuff.
It doesn't say so much that, you know, he doesn't like us. It says more that he doesn't like his readers at TNL.
Nick doesn't like TNL at all, actually.
Nick hates you.
Nick's beautiful penis.
You listening to this podcast, you're Nick's least favorite person in the entire world. Because you may have won something and he doesn't want to tell you about it. I don't really care as long as he sends me one.
Well, I've been playing... Thanks for asking, by the way, but I've been playing Neverwinter Nights 2. It's pretty good. I reviewed it. I liked it well enough.
I haven't played it yet, and if you remember, I actually... My video card went bad, like, I don't know, 8 years ago. It was, like, right around the time that Quake 3 came out. My video card went bad, and I finally replaced it, only because...
I think it was Quake 2, actually.
It might have been Quake 2. But I wanted to play Neverwinter Nights 2 so bad, because you remember that we used to play Neverwinter Nights very often, and it was a lot of fun. I haven't even bothered to download Neverwinter Nights 2. You want to know why?
We've actually had a lot of discussion on this, so I don't really want to know why, but I know you're going to say it anyway. Because, yeah.
You can't kill any innocent people in Neverwinter Nights 2, unless they're designated by the computer. Any NPCs in the game, you can't kill them unless you're told, hey, you can kill that guy. Which is like what? Like one guy like every 2 hours of gameplay or something?
I mean, yeah, this is the big selling point, I think, for me for like, you know, non-Japanese RPGs is that you can kill anyone like Oblivion, you can kill whoever you want. You can kill innocent townspeople. I mean, the guards will chase you, and that adds just like another element of fun to the game. You can be a badass and just kill everyone for no reason.
Exactly, but instead Obsidian decided to take the cheap way out, and instead of actually having to take some time to program that in there or whatever, you can't kill anybody. And that's ridiculous, because that was like, you remember Neverwinter Nights, that's like all we would ever do.
We wouldn't leave an area unless we made sure everyone was killed in that entire area.
Which was like 90% of the fun of the game. So really, once I heard that, I was so pissed off at that laziness. I'm sure that somebody will mod it at some point, you know? At least some kind of mod or
add-on. I'm sure every mod ever released will allow you to kill innocents, but for the main campaign, Obsidian was just really lazy, or they didn't feel like dealing with the complexities of what would happen if you killed people, and they just didn't let you do it.
Which is totally cheap Square Enix bullshit.
I mean, like, you can choose if you're good, neutral, or evil, and being evil, like, you can't control that based on killing innocents or doing bad things. You control that completely through, like, the choices you make in dialogues. Like, if you tell someone, I want a reward for doing this for you, and, like, act like a jerk about it, that's how you're evil. And I don't see how that's evil at all. That's normal.
Yeah, so I think really all you can be is good, neutral, or irritating. You can't actually be evil. You can kind of piss people off a little bit.
You can be mildly irritating to designated people assigned by Obsidian to be killable by you.
But other than that, you're just, I don't know. You're not as good. That's you're not as good. You're chaotic, not as good as what you are. Lawful, not as good. But you're still pretty okay. Evil,
yeah, I mean,
evil in video games is about just, you know, killing whoever you want.
This is the thing Obsidian and BioWare are known for. Like, in Knights of the Old Republic, like, your character, over the course of the game, he turned into, like, a monster. Like, his face started getting green, he started growing horns and shit, like, depending on how evil you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now in Neverwinter Nights 2, like, you're, you know, chaotic, sort of bad, sort of say mean things in conversations.
And, you know, they kind of did the same thing with Knights, you know? You couldn't kill just anybody in Knights. But, you know, it was a new game franchise, so you can kind of go whatever way you want with it.
It was, we took it as it's a console game.
Yeah.
So they dumb it down for everyone.
But if you actually make a sequel to a game where you can do all this stuff and that's the selling point, and then you make it to where you can't do it, that's like in Grand Theft Auto 4. Or 5 or whatever the next one's going to be, if you just can't steal cars. You can only steal these 3 cars that are driven by these 3 people. Other than that, you can't actually interact with any vehicles in the game.
You can steal cars that say "Steal Me" above them in big letters.
And are painted bright yellow. And that's it.
I mean, I gave Neverwinter Nights 2 a 4 out of 5. It's a really good game. It's, you know, same old shit from... I mean, not shit, but it's the same old gameplay from Neverwinter Nights 1, minus, you know, killing people and being awesome about it, and secondly, being able to play the game at all, because no one really can do that at the moment. The system requirements are, like, already ridiculous, but if you actually have the recommended system, you can't play it, because the programming is so lazy and so bad that it runs like shit on everyone's system.
Yeah, what was the specs that... You showed me something on a message board where a guy had, like, a dual core and, like, a 200...
Like, dual SLI GeForce 7900 or whatever the latest one is. He has 2 of them, which means he spent, like, $1,000 on two graphics cards, and he can't play this game. He's getting, like, 10 frames a second.
Your processor's only 233 megahertz, too.
It's not even, like, dual core or anything. It's half of a core.
It
broke, like, a couple years ago.
It's like an eighth of a core.
But, yeah, I mean, like... This is the same problem, actually, we had a long time ago with Morrowind, if you remember. Like, it didn't matter what your system was, it ran like shit. If you, like, made the screen resolution higher, it actually ran better. It's just that sort of lazy programming, and it's showing up a lot lately in PC games, and it kind of sucks.
It's trying to get shit, you know, out before Christmas time.
Honestly, this is why I prefer console games, like, you know, Dodonpachi.
Yeah.
Things like that. Things of that sort.
Anything that's Japanese is way better than anything American. Because Americans are lazy. Final Fantasy XII bit off of BioWare, though, so...
Yeah, we could be proud of that.
I'm not going to play it. But you want to play it.
I actually really do want to play it. I'm fucking excited. It copies BioWare. It's doing BioWare better than, you know, they have lately, because... when was the last time BioWare made a fucking game? They made Jade Empire, and that was a letdown.
Yeah, it kind of was. But Obsidian made, what, Neverwinter Nights 2 and Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Yeah.
And Knights of the Old Republic 2 was horrible, too. So even though... Well, I know Obsidian is, you know, former employees of BioWare, a lot of them, but...
They're Black Isle Studios, yeah.
Yeah.
They used to make... They made Icewind Dale and Planescape Torment, I think. You know, all the good ones.
But somehow they just, like... I think they just get bored or something. They're so smart that they get bored halfway through making a game. Because Knights of the Old Republic 2 didn't have an ending. They built up this whole...
You played through it?
I actually did. They built up this whole huge story, and then the end was just, like, somebody falling or something, and then it's like, oh, that's the end. And you could tell that there was supposed to be something there, and that was just a placeholder, but they actually released it that way.
That game was made in under a year. I mean, Atari told them, like, I don't know, whatever year it was, like, 1984. They're like, guys, make Knights of the Old Republic 2. And they're like, okay. And 1985 comes around, and Atari's like, okay, it's time to release it. Like, they made an entire game in a year. It's pretty impressive, but as you said, it sucks, and it's not complete, it's buggy, it's everything.
And I know, like, a lot of people, like, actually found all this content on their maps and dialogue and stuff that didn't get finished. It's actually on the game disc, but they rushed it so bad that there's stuff on the game disc that wasn't actually implemented. You know, it's not like the Hot Coffee mod in, you know, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas where they left it out because it's people fucking. It's stuff that they just were too lazy or didn't have the time to actually implement that was supposed to be in the game. That just makes no sense. Fuck Obsidian.
Mainly, I think what we're trying to say is fuck American developers, because you don't see this shit from the Japanese.
No, they work on that shit for years. And if they only have a year to make a game, they get, like, 5,000 Japanese school children to work on the game. They just take them out of school and lock them up, and, yeah, they're not good.
They give them a calculator, and they tell them to type it.
Yeah. And they do that. They program that. Final Fantasy XIII is actually being programmed in a TI-81 Texas Instruments calculator by a Japanese 5-year-old. Americans can't do that.
See, this is exclusive news. You're not going to get this anywhere else.
No.
I'm pretty glad that you broke that out for us. So, I guess, I mean, we are the TNL podcast as much as we don't want to be that.
We kind of want to be the Gaming Age podcast.
I want to be the Got Next podcast. Ooh. I want to talk about Bond.
I want to talk about God Next too, but you know, there's no post. On
I
there
mean,
actually
if we had,
about.
Yeah, if we did a God Next podcast, we'd be doing like 5 minutes every week. It'd be fucking great.
It would even be every week. It'd be like every like 3 weeks when somebody makes a post. It would just be 5 minutes about that post. Like, hey, did you see this week? E-Thug said LOL, and you'd be like, yeah, I did see that. Well, that's about it. Thanks. Thanks for downloading the podcast. It's 52K. The next level actually had like a main site. We did work for it. Me more so than you. You did a couple things, though, and I mean that really literally, like, two things ever. And Nick sent you...
I'm proud of it.
Nick sent you...
I'm two for two.
Deus Ex 2, and you never reviewed it.
If you have mean things to say, don't say it at all. So I just felt like not reviewing Deus Ex 2.
I understand. And I think Nick understood, but Heiumaru got really pissed off about it. Would threaten us and tell us that he was going to fire us. But you can't really... fire somebody that's doing freelance for you. You just say I'm not going to let you do freelance for me anymore. You can't really.
I'm not
that.
Going to accept content from you in the event that you send something in.
And the chances of it that just, actually happening were pretty much slim to none.
Yeah, it didn't really make sense to me. But yeah, that's some TNL history right there. Someone should put that in the wiki. You know, I'm not gonna do it.
I'm not gonna.
Someone
do it
should.
Nick actually just private messaged me the winners of the Gears of War contest.
Actually, the great news about that is that Nick just PM'd you at all.
I know.
I get excited.
He set down his hate for all things TNL long enough to actually compose a message over it.
So what do you say?
There's only one person on here that either of us recognize. That's RN.
Who?
I think he's French or something.
Oh, A-R-E-N, that guy?
Yeah.
Why is he getting a gift? He never posts.
I don't know. And the other two, this is quoting Nick here, he kids me not, Saya Thang and Mike Rubba. The fuck?
Yeah. Nick, just send this shit to me, please. I don't have a 360. I'll buy one for Gears of War. I'll put in a second review of it.
Well, you'll make your girlfriend buy you one. You won't actually buy one.
Yeah, I mean, that went without saying.
Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations to Aaron, Saya Fang, and Mike Rubba.
None of them
are whoever the fuck you are.
You know, no. I think Nick should actually refuse to send this shit out unless they mention in a PM to Nick that they heard that they were the winners through this podcast.
I think that Nick should just post it and say, hey, listen to the podcast if you want to know who won.
Yeah.
And if they don't claim it, then we'll actually have to draw from people that are listening. That's what we're going to have to do.
People that actually post. People that... I don't know.
Must be present to win. I think Saya Thang is probably Bon.
He's going to steal Gears of War. It's not a TV, but it's close enough.
I got nothing to say to that.
Humor must be used with judgment and good taste. There are times when it is totally inappropriate. Listen to this exchange overheard at a wedding reception.
Fuck you, if you think that's bold. I couldn't feel your shit if my hands were stuck inside of your asshole.
Because we are gaming form, we have to talk about the two big releases this week, which are the PlayStation 3 and the Wii.
I can't even believe that that's coming out, either of them. Because I remember the last time when, you know, PlayStation 2 and Xbox and GameCube all released. Like, I can remember, you know, months ahead of time being aware of when they were releasing. And being like...
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Wow, that's coming out in just like a couple weeks. I can't wait. There's new game systems. And then now, like, every so often I check GameSpot or whatever, and it's like, there's a PlayStation 3 review. And I don't really care. I don't care about either one of them. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they both have their... Well, not the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 3 doesn't have any redeeming value from what I can tell, but I don't care. I think...
Can you name one launch game for the PlayStation 3?
I think they're all ports or something. I think, like, Tony Hawk.
You know,
I'm pretty sure there's a port of Fantavision.
Madden.
Super Mario Brothers 2. By the way, Nick thinks that Rubberman, or whatever, is Tobal Rocks. I recognize that name, too, but I don't really know who he is. Anyway, I digress.
Why does he think that?
I don't know. Nick doesn't have to explain himself to me.
Nick knows everything.
Yeah. I think he recognized the way that he typed his R or something. No, I really can't name anything that's coming out for either of the systems that's not already out for something else. I'm pretty sure, like I said, there's, you know, Madden, a Tony Hawk game. I don't even know if it's Tony Hawk Project 8. I think it might be.
I have to piss. Just keep talking.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's Tony Hawk 2 that's coming out. I think it's just a port of Tony Hawk 2X from the Xbox launch. Mega Man 4. Super Mario Brothers 2. The original Castlevania. There's nothing that I can think of off the top of my head that's actually new that's coming out for the PlayStation 3. That Resistance game, I think, might be a launch game, but I'm pretty sure no one really cares about that at all, or any of the games that are coming out. And they're only releasing probably 1,000 systems anyway, so.
Alright, so what are we talking about now?
I was just talking about how it doesn't really matter that there's no games, because Sony's only making 400 PlayStation 3s available at launch. It'll scratch 5 seconds after you buy it. In case no one knows what we're talking about, there was a post somewhere where a guy got a PlayStation 3, wiped the dust off it, and completely scratched it to shit. Apparently, the outside is just a thin layer of milk chocolate.
It's got like 3 processor cores in it or something. Like, when the Xbox 360 came out, I was like, you know what, $400? I believe that. I believe it really does cost that much to make, and you're probably losing money on it. With the $250 for the Wii, I'm just like, you guys are fucking ripping me off.
Yeah, you probably, the components that actually make a Wii cost $1.75 or something.
And then the games are $60, which is ridiculous because they're GameCube games, you know? Like, the graphics are GameCube games.
All they've done was talk about how cheap development costs were on Wii games and how easy it is and how they can just throw all this stuff out there. So if the development costs are so much cheaper, why are you charging the same as what Halo 3 is going to cost when it's going to be made over the course of, like, 4 years? It's going to look incredible.
I thought we were playing cartridges, you know?
I don't even really care about Halo 3, but I know it's going to look really good, and I know it's going to play really good. And it's probably going to be worth $60, but fucking Trauma Center? No. I'm not paying $60 for Trauma Center.
Is Trauma Center really $60?
I don't know. If it's more than $20, it's...
a ripoff, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much just kind of a port of the DS game anyway. People say graphics and stuff don't matter, but... and I'll even grant you, okay, let's pretend for a minute that graphics don't matter, which is absolutely insane because I don't remember the last time that a new console generation came out and the graphics didn't look better, so I would think that if they didn't matter, they would probably just keep them the same and, you know, in terms of costs and everything. Are you with me so far?
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, the Xbox would have looked like the Saturn or something if graphics didn't matter. They would have spent the $5 on the processor instead of, you know, $100 on it, but even assuming that it doesn't matter, which is a total bullshit lie that Nintendo fanboys just, you know, throw out there so that they can feel a little bit better about it, anymore graphics is such a small part of what that extra processing power does for you. I mean, just look at a game like Fear. Look at, like, the AI in that.
Yeah,
that's...
yeah, it's true. I mean, like, I understand what Nintendo's saying about graphics. Like, I honestly could live forever with what games look like right now, you know? I honestly don't think graphics right now will continue adding to gameplay. You know, it's going to continue, like, going down that slope where it just isn't as important anymore.
It's diminishing returns just like anything else. I mean, yeah. The difference between this generation and last generation is less, and it has been since the very beginning, so it's not, you know, it gets less important. But that extra processing power, you know,
it helps.
AI... That's huge to a game experience. I mean, you're talking about you want to be able to play games. Well, what better if you have, you know, that AI? I mean, what would Oblivion have been without, you know, the physics and the AI that it had? It would have been Morrowind.
This is what Valve is talking about, too. They recently, like, announced their support for the quad-core processors and everything, and it makes sense because, like, from now on, you can have one processor for the game, one for the graphics, one for the AI, one for the sound. I mean, you can maximize the potential of anything. One entire, like, 3-gig processor is going to be doing sound. It's going to make incredible sound, you know? And it doesn't necessarily cost any more to do it. It just gives the computer more resources to make something more awesome.
And that's exactly it. So even if your argument is just that it's okay for Nintendo to just repackage a GameCube and sell it to you again for, you know, 150% more than what you paid for the one that you have now, the argument completely falls on its ass when you realize that they're losing out on a tremendous amount of actual gameplay stuff. And that's, you know, according to every Nintendo fanboy, that's what Nintendo's about, is, oh, you know, Nintendo's all about games. Well, if you have that better processing power, you can make better games. So.
And they don't necessarily have to be more expensive, you know? It just means that the processor...
If you...
make it better.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
If you have to make Mario Galaxy look like, you know, look like it's basically just an Xbox port of Mario Sunshine, that's fine. You know, and it does look like that. It looks exactly the same, just a little higher res, and that's totally fine if that's what you want to do, but you're shorting yourself if you really think that, you know, having that lower processing power doesn't have an effect on every other aspect of the actual gameplay, you're pretty much just lying to yourself. But you are a Nintendo fanboy, so you're probably used to it.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with you on that. I mean, like, to me, like, I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense to me, but to me, the main problem with the Wii is that it is the GameCube all over again. It is the GameCube with a waggle controller, and the idea behind Nintendo saying, they were saying, we're going to make this really cheap, it'll be for everyone, it'll be a family machine, development costs will stay down because, you know, they really are getting too crazy, and all this shit. And the system ends up costing way too much, the games cost more. Like, if you're not spending extra development costs, why
exactly
are you making everything cost more? If this is a family machine...
And I'm pretty sure they're using DVDs now, aren't they? They're just using... There's none of that manufacturing cost involved with the proprietary media that they were using with the GameCube. They're already using an established media. So that in itself, I mean, I don't know everything about manufacturing costs of, you know, optical media, but it seems to me, just on a common sense level, that if you're using something that's now established, you're going to be able to make your game... Just the actual manufacturing itself is going to be cheaper. You don't have to buy machines that do specifically what you need them to do.
That's basically it. I mean, I love the Wii. I love the idea behind it. You know, really cheap games. I mean, like I said, graphics don't really matter. And, you know, whatever, what you have right now in processing power is good enough for a long time. But if you're going to do that, don't make it cost so much.
Yeah, and that's so for $250, it damn well better look a lot better than it does. But if they're releasing it at, you know, $150, none of this conversation would even be happening. I would probably be
That'd
like,
be awesome.
Yeah, I'm probably buying a Wii this week.
And yeah, that's about it for this week. I guess I want to thank our guest, the Notorious Big. He was pretty nice. I mean, we got a lot of information out of him.
And I hope that silences some of our critics who said that the 50 Cent interview was too long. Because this podcast is all about you.
We're all about brevity.
Yes. So that's it for this week. It's my birthday tomorrow. And Shigeru Miyamoto's, yeah?
It is.
I have this... I don't know. But I was still hoping for that copy of Gears of War, Nick, if you're listening. I don't think you probably are because you hate TNL, but...
Nick's beautiful penis. Nick's beautiful penis. Nick's beautiful penis. Nick's beautiful penis.
Nick!